Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord, as we come into Thy presence as New Jerusalem Church with the body of Christ, Father, founded on Thy Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And not following the voice of man, but the voice of Almighty God, eternal God, written in the Holy Scriptures, spoken not by the wisdom of man or the cunning craftiness of men, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, as we come into Thy presence, we praise You, we glorify You, we magnify You. Speak to us and strengthen us. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 40:31. As we read Isaiah 40:31, the verse that we all know very well. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Before this verse, there were a few things that happened. And therefore, Isaiah 40:31 starts with the word, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So the verses prior to Isaiah 40 and verse 31 is about people who did not wait on the Lord. I saw a graphic that really shook me up. There were two groups, two teams, digging for precious stones and treasures and gold on the side of the mountain. One group said, "Oh, we have worked here for months and months. It's just a waste of time." And they said, "Let's give up." And the other group didn't care. They said, "We came here. We are not going to go tell our family it was a failure. We are not going to go tell our company it was a failure. We will stay here until we find those diamonds and rubies and precious stones and gold." And in 2 inches of digging, they found that rock that could be purified into gold and many precious stones that had to be purified. So both groups had the same ambition, same focus. They wanted to find that mineral or that rock that had gold and precious stones. They were doing the same thing. They were digging and digging and digging. But one group gave up. Just before, inches before, seconds before, the answer came. And that is why the Bible says, "Young men shall faint and be weary and utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This verse is actually written more for us who are in the 21st century. Since man was created on this earth, 6,000 years have passed. When the year 2000 passed, we entered into the 7,000th year. Bible scholars say that the number 7 stands for the day of rest, and God willing, we will enter into rest when the trumpet sounds, the rapture of the saints. But they that wait upon the Lord, all mankind has waited for 7,000th year. So we are in the 7,000th year waiting for the rapture. That's a long wait. But the Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord, that is this generation, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Jesus said, the generation that saw the independence of Israel and the flourishing of Israel, Jesus said, will be alive to see the rapture. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We have prayed for so many things. We have prayed for God's power to be manifested, for a great revival to happen in USA and all over the world. We have prayed for New Jerusalem Church to be established all over the world. Of course, God has raised thousands in the Church of the Living God in Europe and in India and Sri Lanka. However, God's word has not been fulfilled. But there is a promise. Jesus said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd. With different denominations and so much confusion, Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 cannot be fulfilled, because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say, upon this rock I will build my churches, but he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the first century, there was only one church under the leadership of Peter and Paul and Apostle John and James. Now, going back to the word of God, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Why should we wait? Because when we wait, we renew our strength. We know the lessons that we learn from the eagles. A time comes when the eagles go into hibernation and they rest and all their feathers fall away. Even though they are weak, new feathers come in and they get strengthened. And then they fly away. And that's why God says, like eagles, this is the time to wait. This is the time to renew our strength, because we are going to mount up with wings as eagles, and we are going to run and not be weary, and we are going to walk and not faint. So one of the first reasons that we have to wait is so that we can renew our strength like eagles. And once we renewed, we can mount up like eagles. We can run and not be weary, and we can walk and not faint. The journey that lies ahead, those who do not wait and renew their strength cannot mount up with wings as eagles, cannot run, and cannot walk. We see all the things that are happening in USA and all over the world. The people that represent Sodom and Gomorrah are increasing. The people that represent the Antichrist are increasing. It is polluting government, corrupting government. And it doesn't look like the revival is going to take place. But the wicked are increasing day by day. Regardless, we know that this is the same thing that happened in England and Scotland before the great men of God like John Wesley and John Knox and D.L. Moody and Charles G. Finney Rose. In these last days, God's word will be fulfilled. Yes, the world has passed away, fallen. The so-called churches have fallen. Today, there is so much teaching about money, about money, about money. Jesus Christ didn't come to the world for worldly riches. He came for heavenly eternal riches, which is us, the soul that are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But all this has been foretold, and today we are seeing what Jesus said. That day shall not come unless there come a falling away first. But there is a great revival that is going to come, a latter rain, and therefore we believe, and the power of God is going to be made manifest. As I was sleeping, I was rising up, and I heard God's voice, and he said, Very soon from my church, from my tabernacle, my voice will go out and it will shake the heavens and the earth. We are people of faith. God spoke to Abraham even before he had a molecule of Isaac that I would make you the father of many nations. So let's go back to the word of God. But they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40:31. Why should we wait? You know, people wait in the bus stand, and if the bus doesn't come at the right time, they wait for 15 minutes and then they go back home, call their boss and say, can't come to work. People wait for scheduled meetings, and the normal rule is you wait for 15 minutes. If the boss doesn't show up, everybody goes back to their office and starts working. Now, God is the King of the universe. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God is saying you need to wait for your own benefit so you can get strengthened, and then you can mount up and you can run and you can dwell in the heights. So there are certain reasons why we have to wait. Why do we have to wait? Number one, God's ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55:8-11, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. When we pray, God answers that prayer. God doesn't say, okay, well, let me think about it. No. The prayers of his saints are precious, and the prayers are immediately answered. According to the book of Daniel and according to the book of Revelation, where an angel took a censer and there were lightnings and fire and earthquake on the earth. So if God answers our prayer immediately, what is happening? We will get into that later in this chapter. But the reason we have to wait, number one, is because God's ways are higher than ours. We think this is the way God is going to solve the problem. This is the way to the land of Canaan. But God took the children of Israel in a different route, because his thoughts were not the thoughts that Israel had. God said, if I take them to Canaan through the shortcut, they will see war and they will run back into Egypt. So he took them in a roundabout route for almost 80 years. So the reason we have to wait is because God's ways are higher than ours. Caleb and Joshua waited. God's ways were different from man's ways. And they reached the promised land. When God speaks the word in answer to our prayer according to his will, even as the seed that is planted in the ground will spring forth, God's word will not return unto him void, but it shall prosper in the thing that God sent it. So the first reason we have to wait is because God's ways are higher than ours. Second reason we have to wait is because our time is not God's time. We plan and say, okay, next week God is going to send the deliverance at 3:00. It doesn't happen that way. God told Abraham, for about 400 years, your people shall be slaves in the land of Egypt. And then I will judge that nation and I will bring them out. And the Bible says exactly at that 430th year, the hosts of the Lord left the land of Egypt. In Psalm 31:15, the Bible says, my times are in thy hand. deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. It appears that God likes the word 40 because David was anointed a king by the power of the Holy Ghost and he spent 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus rose up from the dead and he spoke and taught the disciples his commandments for 40 days. God has a certain time when his answer is going to come to us. Until that time, we have to wait. Our time is not God's time. Psalm 31, 15. Number 3. Our solution is not God's solution. Therefore, we have to wait. There was a man of God who was a scientist. He invented the sewing machine. But he couldn't figure out where to put the needle. And as you all know, today it's easy. The needle is at the bottom of the sewing machine. He had it at the top of the sewing machine and it didn't work. And he asked the Lord and the Lord gave him a dream. And in the dream, God showed him lion's eyes and so many eyes. And then he showed me the eyes of one animal. And then he found out that God is telling him to put the needle of the sewing machine at the bottom of the sewing machine. And with God's guidance, he did that. And the sewing machine worked. And he patented it and released the world's first sewing machine. Our solution is not God's solution. We think this is the way God is going to solve the problem. You know, somebody is going to show up with a check. And he's going to come at the front gate, knock on the door and give us a check for $50,000 to take care of all our loans. That's not how it happens. God's ways are not our ways. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God's time is not our time. God's ways are not our ways. God's solution is not the same as our solution. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Philip said, hey, if we had ordered truckloads of food, that could have worked. Jesus said, just get the people to sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and broke it and gave it to the multitude. Our solution is not God's solution. Mary said, Jesus, they don't have wine, fresh grape juice. But she told the servants, do exactly as he tells you. You don't come up with a solution to help Jesus. Jesus will come up with a solution because your solution is not going to be the way God works. We have a little 1-pound brain. And God existed forever and ever. And he will live forever and ever. He created us. He's our Father. And he has his Holy Spirit in us. However, God is not going to reveal everything. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. Our solution is not God's solution. Well, why is that? Well, because when you give your daughter or your mother or your wife a birthday present, you want it to be a surprise. You have it all wrapped up. You know, my wife had a very old car that used to get all messed up. And she was really frustrated because she had to take my daughter to school. And so one day, she kept saying, you need to find a solution. So I went and traded in that old Mazda, and I got a really awesome deal, unbelievable. And I brought it home. And she said, what happened to the Mazda? I said, the Mazda is in the dealership. They are cleaning it up and doing some servicing. Oh, yeah. Well, at least you got a car that you would use for a few days till we get the master back. I didn't say anything. So the day of the birthday, I mean, she was driving the Pacifica and she said, oh, I wish God would give us this Chrysler Pacifica. It was really, God made us afford it. It was very, very cheap. God did a miracle. And so the birthday, day of the birthday of my wife, I gave the keys to my kids and said, I have to go to work. When mom wakes up, wish her happy birthday and give her the keys. So that was a surprise. My wife almost passed out, almost fainted when they gave her the car keys because it was a surprise. That's the way God is. Now, she didn't get a birthday, a car every day for her birthday. In all our days of marriage, 25 years, that's the first time she got a car for birthday. Other times she gets simple things that are worth about $10. Sorry, but, you know, we have to do what the Lord tells us. But she's happy with the family. Our solution is not God's solution. And God keeps it secret until it comes in a gift wrapper. You know why the people of the world missed God's solution? They said, God, save us from our sins. Save us from death. You know, save us from all this pain and suffering that mankind is going through. And God sent a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. Guess where they went? They went to a palace to see what God's solution was. God said, my solution is not in the palace, it's in the manger. Our solution is not God's solution. So we have to wait. And when the time comes, accept what God gives to us as solution. The blessings in life are clothed in rags, so only the simple can find it. Genesis 19, 17 and 18. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto the angels, oh, not so, my Lord. The angels told Lot and his wife and his children, don't look back at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look towards the mountain. Run for your life. Don't stay in the plain. Don't look behind you. Escape to the mountain. Escape for your life. And Lot said, no way. Can you believe that God told Lot something to do? God gave Lot the solution for him and his family's protection when Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be completely wiped out by fire. God told Lot and his family, go up to the mountain. Don't stay in the plain. Lot said, oh no, not that way, Lord. Not that solution. Oh, how about the city that looks really cool that's right next door? And the angel said, fine. That's not God's solution. That's your solution. You're going to regret it. And Lot regretted it. He went and lived in that city. His daughters learned all kinds of junk. They learned all kinds of sin and idol worship. And then finally he said, well, I should have listened to the angel. And he went into up that same mountain that the angel showed him wiser after the event. If he had gone up the mountain when the angel told him, Moab and Ammon, the cursed tribes in the Bible, would not have been formed. We know where it is, the nation that fought with Israel and lost the battle. Oh, not so, my Lord. Our solution is not God's solution. But Samuel said, speak for thy servant heareth. Apostle Paul said, what wilt thou have me to do? When God gave him a solution, he accepted it. Fourth reason why we have to wait upon the Lord is because we have not seen how God will solve the problems. We will always have problems and challenges in our life, things that we need to pray for because we are in the battlefield. Sometimes we think in our mind, they're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go to that other city and we're going to solve the problem this way. It ain't going to happen the way that we think it's going to happen. We have to wait. We have not seen how God will solve the problem. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. Seeing and believing is not faith. When God tells us, pray, I will do it my way, and we have not seen what God is going to do, we just need to trust in Him. We need to wait in His presence. When it happens, we will see it. We do not know what is God's plan. You know, I wanted to be a doctor when I grew up. Medical doctor. But God didn't want me to be a doctor. He wanted me to be an engineer. Now I understand why. Because I wouldn't have lasted a day in that profession. I can't stand it. My dad told me when I was in 10th grade, you can't even stand it when someone sneezes and blows their nose when you're on the dining table and you're going to be a doctor. No way. You need to be an engineer. And thank God for His mercy. So I didn't end up in the wrong profession. We have to wait on God because we do not know what is God's plan. You know, Peter, James, and John tried their best to preach the gospel all over the world. They were so limited, they couldn't even get past Judea. God said, I will send you the Holy Spirit and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and in the rest of the world. Judea was okay. Jerusalem was very hard. They couldn't win the Jews to Christ. Peter and John and James were saying, what do we do? And then they executed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And now only John and Peter were left. They kept praying, what are we going to do? Peter got arrested 2 times, got released. And so they were saying, well, we'll just chill out and stay in the church because it is not working. And then what happened? Saul was going to Damascus. And he fell off the horse. He saw Jesus. And Jesus called him to preach to the Gentiles. And then the gospel went all over the world. And now we have millions and millions and billions, at least, called the name Christians. Most of them namesake. But the gospel of God, the plan of God, was to raise up Saul to become Paul. And not to use Peter and James to bring the Gentiles like us to the faith. So we do not know what is God's plan. God's plan will succeed. Everybody else's wheels will come up like Pharaoh's chariot's wheels. Those who are going with God's promises, their wheels will not come off. And they will reach the promised land. So fifth, we have to wait. Because we do not know what's God's plan. So the sixth reason we have to wait is because God's messages and deliverance can get blocked temporarily until we remain in prayer and waiting and receive the answer. Daniel prayed in the book of Daniel. The prayer was answered. The angel was sent with the answer. But Satan withstood him. It says the king of prince of Persia, but that was the demon that was appointed to be the leader of Persia in the satanic kingdom, and he withstood Gabriel, the head of God's army of messengers. And then Michael, the archangel, the captain of the host of God's army, came and withstood the prince of Persia and pushed him down. And when Gabriel came the 21st day, he found Daniel on his knees praying. Daniel didn't give up. He waited for 21 days. And as he waited, the message came to him. Luke 18:7-8, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth. We are praying for the rapture, but the denominations have already fallen. And that's why Jesus says, when the rapture takes place, the trumpet sounds, will I even find the elect? Will I find faith on earth? Because most of those who call themselves Christians have given up. They have compromised with Islam. They have compromised with Catholicism. They have compromised with ecumenism, Episcopalism, and whatever isms are there. They have compromised, and now they are trying to create a one world religion because they're saying, well, you know, he said 2,000 years back he's coming back, but we don't see anything going on. But God's messages and deliverance can get blocked temporarily. And God allows it, so not because he's powerless, but because he wants his children to wait in his presence. God is not just satisfied with us receiving answer to the prayer, but in the process, God wants us to do spiritual warfare and exercise and get strengthened and renew our strength so we can mount up with wings like eagles and run and not be weary. The last reason we need to wait is because we do not know what is happening in the spiritual realm in response to our prayer. My grandma had Alzheimer's and hallucinations and all kinds of things. And as I was praying, nothing happened. And then in the dream, God told me, this is a very powerful demon. And he said, rebuke the demon that is in your grandma in the name of Jesus. And I rebuked it. And suddenly I saw the whole universe shaking. Do you see that? It is the response to your prayer, Daniel. When you pray, the whole universe, the stars and the skies are shaking. The powerful demons are cracking. So you need to continue praying. And my grandma was delivered finally. She didn't have Alzheimer's. She didn't have hallucinations. People give it all kinds of names so that you can't spell it and have to go to the professionals. But we need to act in the spiritual realm. So, there was a great famine in Israel. And people started eating people. Because they were hungry. And then suddenly, as people were eating people and there was no food, Elisha came and said, 2 Kings 7 chapter verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven open up, might this thing even happen? And Elisha said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof, because you did not believe the word of the Lord. And so what happened? The next day, a bunch of lepers, they were hungry, they went outside the city, and they found the camp of the Syrians empty. And there was flour and food and gold and silver and all kinds of things. Because God, the previous night, God made the Syrian army hear a whirlwind and sound of chariots. And they thought, oh my goodness, the king of Israel has hired the entire world to come to arm, to come to war against us. Let's run back to Syria before we get wiped out. So Israel prayed. And God was already working. Israel could not see what God was doing, so they thought nothing is happening. But we need to understand that when we pray, something is happening. We may not see it, but we will eventually see it. And because we do not know what is happening, we have to wait. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall not walk and not faint. Why wait? Number one, because God's ways are higher than ours. Why wait? Number two, because our time is not God's time. Why wait, number three? Because our solution is not God's solution. Why wait, number four? Because we have not seen how God will solve the problem. Why wait, number five? Because we do not know what is God's plan. Why wait, number six? Because God's messages and deliverance can get temporarily blocked. Why wait, number seven? Because we do not know what is happening in the spiritual realm. Because when you think nothing is happening, something is happening. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us and empower us to wait in the presence of the Lord and to be taken up in the rapture and receive all the promises of God from Genesis to Revelation. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us as New Jerusalem Church.